Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us from Israel, Jonathan Feldstein. He's founder of Genesis 123 Foundation. Jonathan, good morning. How are ya?
Good morning. Very nice news to hear about Chai FM and your transmission.
It really is, because unfortunately we have had, and many of the radio stations have completely interrupted transmission, sometimes because of this electricity and load shedding and all sorts of things, but we are going to be taking it over ourselves, which really will make a massive, massive difference to the stability of our transmission and of our feed. So that is really, really great news. News from Israel, it is, I guess it's a very strange time, because it's almost as though, because there's not much happening there, everybody holding their breath before the Rafah invasion, its focus has moved more to the United States than to Israel. What's the story?
Well, it's an interesting point. The United States is in a very, very sad state of affairs, with campuses, including Emory University, where I went, being invaded by pro-Hamas demonstrators as if they own the place. And indeed, that's very, very frightening. But yeah, here there's talk about hostages, the release of the video of Hirsch Goldberg Polin other day, and how wonderful that, at least as of when that was recorded, he was alive, and speculation that he and others may still be alive. But there seems to be the imminent invasion of Rafah, and the necessity to do the same in some capacity in Lebanon, with the border still very, very uneasy there. What's nice, I'll be honest, I began Passover with a tremendous sense of forbearing, thinking that we were in for something imminent that would ruin the holiday. I mean, if I were a terrorist, I would probably want to do that. We've had a very lovely holiday with my family so far, even able to get out on the road and hitting traffic, not only because of GPS being jammed still, but because of a lot of Israelis able to celebrate on the road, albeit in the middle of a war.
So that is incredible. And it has been a time of relative, or what it seems like, stability. Can we just talk about the north? Because I get the sense that even though it is still very uneasy there, and the residents haven't been able to return to their homes, my sense is that Israel is doing a tremendous job of undoing a lot of the Hezbollah stronghold in the area.
Well, undoing a lot is a relative term. If Hezbollah is estimated to have as many as 150,000 rockets and precision missiles, and that's, for those listening who don't understand, that's why the GPS is being jammed, because the missiles that can come in that are GPS guided can hit targets very precisely. If 150,000 is the estimate, I think since October 7th, what we've seen is we can estimate that our estimates are probably low, and I've heard an expert estimate it as many as 350,000.
That's not a livable situation.
No. It's not a livable situation when even if they were to fire, we can make up a number, Howard, 1,000 a day. And even if the Iron Dome, which we, in the case of the Hezbollah missiles, we would have to use multiple air defense systems, not just the Iron Dome, but even if there's only a 90% accuracy rate, success rate, that means 100 will get through a day. And their estimates here that as many as 500 to 700, and I've heard 1,000 Israelis would die a day in the first number of weeks in a war until we're really able to take them out. So maybe we're strategic in taking out terror leaders, but short of a full-scale bombing, I'm not a military expert. I don't understand how we're going to completely disarm Hezbollah and the threat there. And by the way, considering that 2 days ago there were still rockets being fired from Gaza. So with all of this going on in the north, in the south, in Gaza, they still have rockets to fire. We haven't even begun. My sense is we haven't even begun to scratch the surface in Lebanon.
All right, so there you've gone and burst my bubble. I had constructed this whole narrative for myself that that Israel, in fact, was doing a tremendous job up there, which they might be doing. But what you're saying is, even if they're doing a great job, it is there is so much military capability up there that a lot more would need to be done in order to make that region safe again.
Oh, my goodness. But not just that region. You know, the UN Resolution 1701 in 2006, ending combat of the what we call the Second Lebanon War, also required Hezbollah to be not be present below the south of the Litani River. The Litani River no longer matters. First of all, they are, and the UN and the world have allowed that, and the Lebanese have allowed that. But the Litani River no longer matters because they can hit pretty much all of Israel, to the point that Israelis like our families were stocking water. We have a solar panel to generate electricity, thinking that in the event of a war, we may be this will be much more serious than what's happening in Gaza, and we may be out of water or electricity for any number of days. This is potentially very, very serious.
To blame the UN is one thing, but for Israel to have allowed it is something quite another. How did Israel allow this?
But I think Israel has been successful at taking out many of the installations and the transferring of weapons. But how has Israel allowed it? Short of going in, this is, again, my sense, no military expert, but short of going in and having a complete assault on their weapons and on their positions above ground, below ground, short of doing that, which would trigger the war anyway, and condemnation, right? Maybe Israel's waiting for the Yom Kippur moment to be attacked in a way that we can no longer say enough is enough. And must go back and respond. I don't know. I think that we're straddling a lot of lines in terms of international diplomacy and kicking the can down the road and not realizing that they would turn the northern border into a place that civilians couldn't live. Yesterday we had somebody in my home who is a professional soldier in the north and knows what's going on, and kept telling me from place to place to place to place that these communities are abandoned. And that's that we can't allow that as a state.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Is there any sense of timing in terms of those who have been displaced from the north would be able to return?
It's a good question. So first of all, a lot of people are about if there's going to be significant combat in the north, it would be May, June, because simply the weather we just now finished the rainy season and the weather is not compatible to moving big equipment and soldiers while the ground is still wet. So that's a possibility. I've heard a great proposal by certain people around the country in the media that we tell the citizens of northern Israel that life will begin again as normal on September 1st, which is the beginning of the academic year. And if that is not doable because of international pressure and requiring Hezbollah to disarm and move back beyond the Litani River, which I don't believe, then Israel will be required by July, August to make sure that that happens. But this is all talk. And you know, you can make plans, but as soon as the combat begins, I think the plans may go out of the window because your enemies are not operating according to the same playbook.
And certainly we've seen that in terms of Rafah, haven't we? The amount of time
Indeed.
That this has taken is bordering on the absurd. Now, there might be good reason for it, but it is quite remarkable that Hamas have been allowed to continue operating and using Rafah as the headquarters for the control of Gaza. It really does make no sense.
Indeed, and when what did my son say when he was home yesterday for Passover? He was the one who fought in Gaza for 2 months. He was saying that, of course, Hamas is using the time to booby trap more and entrench more and get any more weapons that they can and hide the hostages even beyond reach All of that's true, but one of the successful things that the soldiers have been able to do is identify weapons and Hamas strong points through how they were being hidden, and Hamas now has had time to even hide them differently. So it's, in a sense, when that operation begins, it may almost be learning new combat from the beginning.
Mm. Not as simple at all. That is where we leave it. Jonathan Feldstein, thank you. As always, it is 6:48.